Talk given at Park Place, Wednesday afternoon, 8th May 1974. During these 8 days, let us all make ourselves welcome to each other, to our own self, to this particular place, this center where we have met, and to the environment around us, so that our presence here and our having been here for these 8 days will be something of a benediction to everything around. This is my meaning of welcoming you all. And if we make ourselves welcome to each other, it means that we shall live together in pure love, with great sensitivity for everyone, for everything, with great considerateness, with no imposition of ourself upon anyone else or what is around us. And this loving kindness, this friendliness in the profound and deep sense, is not something which is to be thrown at the other person. We all know, we have all experienced sometime or other what it means to be killed by kindness. The other person means to be very friendly and helpful, but, as Shakespeare said in a comic context, but me no buts. Let there be no buts about it. Just simple, quiet considerateness, not imposed, not calculated, just spontaneous, flowing freely as the situation demands. No more, no less. In that way, we shall make ourselves welcome to everybody, to ourselves, to our environment. And if we can get a glimpse of this and put it into practice, we may find that we do not have to strive to put behind us the problems, the difficulties, the excitements, the lost pleasures, or whatever they may be, which were our lot before we came here. They will all naturally fall back and take their proper place in proper proportion in the all-encompassing background of life itself. And in that situation, you will find that a light from within will shine. And the light will shine so wonderfully that neither you nor I will know that it is shining. And this is the charm and the marvel of it. Remember, this is a school. A school, I trust, as it will prove itself, in the most real and living sense of the word. A place, an occasion, a unique opportunity to learn. And to learn not because we are seeking to learn something special, not because somebody is trying to teach us something, but to learn because we are growing happily, which is the true meaning of learning. It is the true meaning of discipleship. We are the disciples of life. Of life eternal, the all-encompassing reality, which is so all-encompassing, so real, that our poor intellects cannot possibly grasp it. And it is wisdom not to try to grasp the ungraspable. Let be. Let it all happen. In its own sweet natural way. And then you will find that you have lost nothing whatsoever, nor have you been burdened by gaining anything whatsoever. But you have been enriched beyond measure, beyond count, by the fullness and beauty of the eternal itself embodied in you and as you. This is the way to learn, to grow happily. And in that sense, let us try and understand this school as a school. Life itself is the school, a perpetual school. And if perhaps in these 8 days we can catch a little glimpse of it, and if that lights up the spark within us, then we shall find the fruition of that taking place in mysterious and unknown ways throughout the days to come. And that way, you will experience, you will realize true happiness and true peace. Outwardly, there are bound to be storms, there are bound to be difficulties. But we all know that the depths of the ocean are still. They are still not with the static stillness of death, but they are still with the vibrant possibility and fact of life. So the external storms will come and they will subside, inevitably. And the external calm, an agreeable circumstance will come and will also vanish away, inevitably and invariably. You all know that wonderful teaching, particularly embodied, I should say, peculiarly well embodied in the pithy statement of the Buddha: whatsoever hath a beginning by nature hath an ending. So all those external things come, they go. My business is to remain calm, poised, and mindful all the time. So, let us learn in the way in which the holy ones themselves learned and realized and lived a life which was a blessing to all mankind for centuries to come. And let us emphasize one supremely important point, summed up in the single word, silence. Everything happens in the silence. The very disturbance of the silence is part of that silence. It is the part which shows up what obstructs reality, what obstructs truth and beauty and love and goodness and wisdom. But if you and I will be good fellow students, we shall learn how to spot that silence, to spot that noise within the silence. And seeing that noise within the silence as noise, and realizing that the eternal reality is the silence, we shall be able to just let it, the noise, slip past. As it is put in the Buddhist texts. And then seeing the ephemeral nature of everything which arises, seeing that it is only relative, anicca, impermanent, as it is often translated, relative. That it is not ultimate reality. It is anatta. And itself, if not seen for what it really is a source of misery and suffering, dukkha. Seeing all that, we are able to put it aside quite easily and naturally. And the meaning of that is that we do not have to struggle in order to be free. We become free, we remain free, we maintain the state of freedom by seeing the fact of the situation. See the fact of it. This is relative. Temporal, belonging to time, And when you really see that, the timeless that is within us, was before us and will be after us, the timeless remains untouched and untroubled by the sorrows, the burdens of time, and whatsoever time brings. Perhaps we may learn then during these 8 days the significance, the meaning, the power, the healing power, the cleansing power, the transforming power of that silence. The silence in the deeps of the mind, the deeps of the soul. Although externally we may be disturbed and upset. If we learn that, then we shall learn our specific and particular lesson out of the noise. Something which was meant for our benefit. You know how an ointment sometimes smarts, it hurts. But if it is a good ointment, a true ointment, it heals, although it smarts at first. So we must take it in our stride. Now here we have, again this year, a wonderful opportunity. There is beauty, there is peace around us. What is the factor which could be and almost always is the most powerfully disturbing factor? I myself, a man, set in this environment. Look at the trees. Look at the grass. And the gods have showered their gift upon us by giving us a lovely sunny day to start with. And who's going to darken the sunshine? To spoil the greenness of the grass and take away from the exquisite beauty of the inimitable shape of the trees, of their symphony of dance as they sway in the wind and so forth. Who's going to do that but just me, myself, man? Caught up in the noise of his thoughts and his emotions, his feelings. Caught up with his ideas of what ought to be and what he would like to see instead of what the universe has laid before him for his learning. For his discipleship of life. I am like that, and I believe most human beings are like that. But here is our opportunity. Let the opportunity work freely through you. Don't try to grasp it. Don't say, I've got only 8 days. Because if you say that, every hour that ticks past, you'll say, oh my goodness, another hour gone, another hour gone. And at the end of the 8 days, all the hours would be gone, and you'll still be saying, the last hour has gone. And that's the end of it. And you've learnt not a thing. I shouldn't recommend it, you know. So let me be very sensitive. Be awake and silent. And this silence can be put into practice very, very simply and practically here in this very building. You already know about silence at meal times. This is a very interesting thing, you know. If you study the lives of the great teachers, you will find that they partook of food in silence. They were mindful whilst they ate. They observed what they ate. They registered the taste of the food. You will find this, for example, in detail in some of the Buddhist discourses. They were perfectly mindful of it. They enjoyed it in the right way, without any grasping. Seeing this is so and so, in taste and so on. No grasping. No rushing through the meal, lest they might miss something or not get enough. If there was only half a cup of tea available, they enjoyed the half a cup of tea and were not concerned with having six. And so on. All this may sound trite and trivial, but if we watch ourselves carefully, we will see greed operating every second of the time spent in eating a meal. So eat mindfully, peacefully, happily. Don't let your thoughts run away to other things than the meal. Because if they do, they will partially act as forces for indigestion. I know what the so-called intelligent man in the street will say to that. You all know it too. But never mind the intelligent man in the street. We need not compare ourselves with him. We are what we are, and if we have understanding, we will see truth. So never mind what the intelligent man in the street thinks or what his opinions are. They don't matter. It is what you realize that matters. So silence in that respect. Silence, quietness in the corridors, especially at night, especially in the bedrooms. Eschew all noisy discussions. We indulge in discussions. I did it for 60 years of my life practically, and I am only a little more than that. Well, perhaps a good bit more, but still. And all these noisy discussions are noisier and noisier whenever I feel more and more self-assertive and egoistic. I know. Whenever one wants to win one's point against somebody, and all I succeed in doing thereby is to enhance and perpetuate conflict, I am not a source of harmony. I am not learning at all. I am no disciple, no man of religion, if I do that. So eschew all that. Consider carefully, consider deeply, quietly. quietly. And in that peaceful consideration, you will extract the real meaning of what is said, what another person is trying to convey to you. You know, the Buddha always said, he never argued with the world. He neither agreed nor did he disagree with whatsoever anyone said. And naturally one might wonder, well then was he concerned with the truth? Of course he was. And it is simply because he was concerned with the truth that he neither agreed nor disagreed. You see the point of it. An agreement or a disagreement is in the now, at this moment. But if you agree and stand by that, or if you disagree and stand by that, you are standing by something which is of the dead past and has become a fossil. And that is not the way of life. That is not the way of learning. Learning is continuous change in line with the trend of life. That is the point. In line with the trend of life. Here is our opportunity to be in line with the trend of life during these days. In silence. Now, let us just remind ourselves of that very beautiful discourse when the Buddha visits three of his great disciples, Anuruddha, Nanda and Kimbila, who are spending the wet season, I believe, in retreat. And as was their usual custom, they exchanged the greetings and compliments of politeness and courtesy. It's most significant. Always exchange the greetings and compliments of politeness and courtesy. And truly felt, heartfelt exchange. Not a mere external formula which is bandied about. Oh, I'm delighted to see you. But really felt sincere. And the Buddha asks Anuruddha, who was spokesman for the three of them usually, he asks Anuruddha, amongst other things, and are you living happily together, regarding each other with the eye of affection, like milk and water blending? Now, we are a company of people would-be disciples, would-be learners. We are all fellow students, met together this year from different parts of the world, as far away as Northern England, as far away as Germany, as Holland, and as far away as Sacramento in California. Two of our people have come from all that distance to be with us in this companionship of the Spirit, where we can try and live like in friendliness, like milk and water blending. Once milk and water have blended, you can't separate the two. At least I don't know of any chemical means by which you can separate the two. And the important point is this: when the Buddha asks Anuruddha, and how is it that you succeed in living like that? And Anuruddha says that he puts aside his own mind, his own wishes and his own desires, and he considers the others. And each of the others says the same thing with respect to the other two. Now, is this humanly possible with us? It is not possible if we think in terms of a deliberate exercise in loving kindness, or a deliberate exercise in self-abnegation. It cannot be done that way. It will raise up conflicts only. But it is because each one of them is silent within his own mind and heart, he is able to listen to the other person's mind and heart. And therefore there is no problem of putting aside his own wishes or desires, or putting aside his own ideas. He sees the other person and he fulfills what the other person wants and needs. And each of them does that with respect to the other. And since all three of them are concerned with living the holy life, none of them has personal wishes and desires. Therefore, the truth, the life, the way of holiness opens up and functions through the mind of each. You see what a marvelous thing it is? You see how wonderful is the depth of religion and religious teachings? I am only able to touch just the external skin of it. How wonderful the inward reality is. But even if one touches the skin, and you are sensitive, you are silent, you will touch the very heart of the whole thing. And in that lies your happiness, your personal happiness too, and fulfillment. So, 8 days of silence, of considerateness, of living together in harmony, making ourselves welcome to each other. Therefore, there'll be no necessity to say, dear brother or sister, but we shall all inevitably and naturally be brethren in spirit. Unavoidably so. Another thing I would like to mention let us avoid forming little groups of our own and sticking to them. let us meet everyone. That doesn't mean that we look at our watch and say, oh, now I've got to meet Pat, now I've got to meet John, now I've got to meet so-and-so, and oh, by the time dinner has come round, I shall have met everybody. We shall have met nobody that way. The meeting will take place naturally. The confluencing of the streams of life is a mystery that no man can ever penetrate. But if I remain awake and mindful, I will be in tune with that activity of confluencing, that harmonious confluencing, by life itself in its totality, and thereby the right and the good thing will have happened by itself. I don't do anything good or wonderful. It is totality, it is transcendence, which is the doer, the real doer, not I. I am the interferer, the spoiler of things. One other little point. It is so natural for people to be critical. Last year, when we had our summer school at Catherington House, it was wonderful to see and hear the response of those who run Catherington House, who do the work there, to us as a group. I'll put it simply like this. They were well pleased with us. They regarded us as one of the most helpful and considerate groups that they ever had. And they, for their part towards us, displayed a true Christian charity and understanding. They made no demands on us, although we sometimes, some of us anyway, made demands on them, which was a little bit not quite religious. And let us be circumspect, careful, that those around who work in this building and serve us will be given no cause to think that, oh, these people are a little bit cranky or whatever it is. We can do the crankiest thing in the most divine way. And you see, that affects the perfect conversion of the other with no attempt at all on our part to evangelize. And perhaps this sentence has particular significance in a center like this. So let us just bear that in mind too. One last word. I personally am deeply happy to see you all here. Whatsoever can be done for you, will be done. There are those who have made this summer school possible this year because they have taken on onerous duties organizationally. Without them, I couldn't possibly have done it this time. And to them we owe a deep debt. Let us make no effort to repay the debt. If you and I can take the right steps here, there is no debt at all. There is the fructification of their efforts. And that is their, if I may use that word, reward. So let us live deeply happily, in the real sense of the word happiness, and you all know what I mean by that word, during these 8 days.